stuff last week. We were discussing whether Balak Kedusha Aretz or not Balak Kedusha Aretz, of course, the Nafkamino Dina for Asadiyah, is whether or not Shemitah is going to be Midir Rabbanan. The Gemara told us a tremendous Chiddush that Rabbi Yanai permitted the planting, the plowing and planting during Shemitah, and the Rishonim was startled. How did he permit Nisa Deraisa? So one answer is the Kuch Nefesh, but the other answer that Taisus gives one answer, and Rashi gives the same answer. But know that the Gemara was assuming that Shemitah Bizman is on the Midir Rabbanan, and therefore there was a great Tzorech of people paying their taxes, so even though it wasn't Mamish Pekuch Nefesh, Chazal lifted the prohibition of Shemitah Midir Rabbanan. What makes Shemitah Midir Rabbanan? Rashi says, because Balak Kedusha Aretz. So that got us on a roll. Is that true? Balak Kedusha Aretz, really? Is that true? So there was a machlekes up to now on whether Kedusha Rishonah was Betela, but all the Rishonah Paskin, the Gemara in Chulin, like Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, that Kedusha Rishonah was not Betela. What was Betela? But the problem is that Kedusha Shniyah is Betela. Kedusha Shniyah is not so simple to say that Kedusha Shniyah is Betela. So that was a big machlekes up to now with the Yanks and the Abonis, it was a Pesachus Yavonis, whether Kedusha Shniyah is Betela or not. Why should one differentiate between Kedusha Shniyah and Kedusha Shniyah? So we had on the one hand, the Gemara seems to present it as Pesukim, but the Rambam gave us a reason, and then the Avraham gave a razzle-dazzle shtickle Torah, and that was the whole Shia pretty much on Thursday. So when all the dust settled, so we have a fundamental question in the Tanoim: is it really true that Batlu Kedushas Haaretz or not? Our Sugya is hinging upon that Machlokes of Tanoim. So how should we paskin that Lach Machlokes of Yaisi in the Rabbanan? So on the one hand, Rabbi Yossi is a big player himself. Rabbi Yossi overrides Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi overrides Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi overrides Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi is really, really a very strong player in terms of Lach Rabbi Yossi. On the other hand, he's against the Rabbanan, against everybody, against all his colleagues, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, everyone else disagrees with him. So should we follow Rabbi Yossi? So within the clone of the Tanoim, it's not so clear how to paskin. But what makes matters even more complicated is that Rabbi Yechanan gives us contradictory messages. Rabbi Yechanan in the sugyas in the 8th Rebbe of Yevamos quotes Rabbi Yossi, and then the Gemara says, well, maybe he didn't really hold like Rabbi Yossi, maybe he didn't like Rabbi Yossi, maybe he held like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is giving a back and forth and back and forth. And I'm in Amarayim, there's a lack of clarity whether we should follow the view that Kiddush Shniyah is B'teil or not. So all of Shemitah, Bizman is that, all Shemitah is Isis, Bizman, everything is hinging upon whether Kiddush Shniyah is Kayemis or not. So the bottom line was, it was a machlokes rishonim, not a great shock, a great surprise. It was a machlokes rishonim, had to be machriya in this machlokes of Yossi and the Rabbanan, whether Kedusha Shniyah is B'teila or not. So when all the dust settles, it comes down to machlokes of Rabbeinu Baruch and the Raivid. Rabbeinu Baruch was the nice name of a sefer for our topic, wrote the sefer called Sefer HaTruma. So Rabbeinu Baruch in the Sefer HaTruma paskin like the Mekilim, he paskin like the Rabbanan, that Kedusha, just as Kedusha Rishon was B'teila, so too Kedusha Shniyah is B'teila. And all the shtickl Torahs that we had on Thursday about was Kedusha's Kibush and Chazokah back, none of that is that true. That we follow the view straight of the Rabbanan, that all the Kedushas are B'teila, and therefore the result of that statement is, if all the Kedushas are ours is B'teila, both Kedusha Rishon and Kedusha Shniyah, then nothing's deraisa today. All the Trumas and Ma'is, all the Shmah, everything is only Midir Rabbanan. That was the one extreme view of Rabbeinu Baruch. So according to that one, to the extreme view of Rabbeinu Baruch, it comes out that everything is the Rabbanan Bizman, all the mitzvahs is the Rabbanan, because Kedusha is B'teila. Then you have the total other extreme, David. The Rav in his comments in the Rambam writes that the whole thing is not true. All the mitzvahs Bizman is there, everything is deraisa. And the reason why everything is deraisa is because Kedusha is lo B'teila. Again, these are the two shitas that makes sense in terms of the simple reading of the sugya, which is basically just a restating the follower of Yossi's argument, you follow the Rabbanan's argument. But of course, there's always a middle ground. You know, we always said many, many times, both in learning and in life, the two extreme sheets is always the easiest to understand, but they're not necessarily the correct ones. So these are the two extremes. The Rebbeinu Baruch one extreme, the Raivin the other extreme. But who fits right smack in the middle? Who's the sheet that we have the most difficulty understanding? Is a sheet that's a Rambam. The Rambam is right in the middle. Why is the Rambam in the middle? Because on the one hand, the Rambam paskins that Kedusha Shniyah lo B'teila. The Rambam was actually the source for that whole lumdus that we spoke about last week. And the Rambam says that Kibush is neat unto Bittul, whereas Chazokah is not neat unto Bittul, which Chazokah meant Kiddush Bepeh. That was the Avram's whole breakthrough from last week. So the Rambam on the one hand is looking like Raivid direction, he can't be too close to the Rebbe because he'll be saying the same thing as the Rebbe, and that wouldn't be fair. They have to argue. So the Rambam, on the one hand, is in the direction of the Rebbe. He looks lo betela. What's going to be the next word here? Obviously, no question about it. It's going to be deraisa, right? So comes the Rambam, and again, we're talking about Trumas and Maisers here. That's our initial discussion. So comes the Rambam and says, and by the way, Trumas and Maisers b'sman hazeh only midirabbanan. Of course, the Rambam gets a big. Tumas and Maisas Derabbanan. I understand. Just do the math. If you hold that the Shashniya is Kayemes, then how did Tumas and Maisas become Derabbanan? So the Rambam says, I'll tell you how they became Derabbanan. They didn't become Derabbanan. They were always Derabbanan. Not always, but always, even in the days of Ezra, they were Derabbanan. Even throughout the period of Bayi Sheni. In the glory of Bayi Sheni, the days of Chashbonoim, the days of Ezra, the greatest of the greatest days of Bayi Sheni, says the Rambam, all of Tumas and Maisas were only Midrabbanan anyway. Why were they only midrabbanan anyway? Because in order to be chayiv in Trumas and Maisas min haTorah, there is a second kistan. What is that second condition? It's not just Kedushas HaAretz, but you need what? You need, what's the word? What's the phrase around this? You use something that you may or may not be corrected. That may be the same, but we're going to assume not. Rambam made up a new term. What's it called? Bias Kolchem. Zok the Rambam, just because you happen to be in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't necessarily mean that Trumas and Maisas is deraisa. Just because you happen to have Kedushas HaAretz doesn't translate to mean Trumas and Maisas Nadiraisa. You need Kedushas HaAretz plus. What's the plus? You need Bias Kulchem. You need all of Klal Yisrael, or at least the majority of Klal Yisrael has to be in Eretz Yisrael. When they come to Eretz Yisrael en masse, like they did in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, like they did not do in the days of who? The days of Ezra. They came a mere 40,000 plus showed up in the days of Ezra. There were hundreds of thousands, millions of people who didn't make it on the Nefesh B'Nefesh flight in the days of Ezra. So the Reuben, of Klal Yisrael stayed behind in Chutz La'aretz. Didn't sound like a new phenomena. So therefore, comes around and says, even in the glorious days of Bayi Sheni, you never had Bias Kulchem. And therefore, by definition, Trumas and Maisers are not going to be deraisa. Therefore, it is obvious, according to the Rambam, that b'zman hazeh, Trumas and Maisers are not going to be deraisa. Even though in theory they should have been deraisa, because Kedushas HaAretz is lo b'teila, the Yaisi's drush is right. The Rambam says, I'm the one who wrote the book about Kibush and Chazacha. That was my shtickle Torah from Thursday. But still going to be derabbanan b'zman hazeh. It's not going to be any better, not going to be any higher level than it was in the days of Ezra himself. So when all the dust settles, the Rambam says that it's derabbanan, but not because of lach of Kedushas HaAretz, but rather because of a new principle called Bias Kulchem. Now, Rabbi Sai, we're not really learning the sugya of Truma. We're really learning the sugya of what? Of Shemitah, right? But we can't even get to discuss Shemitah until we get the ABCs of Kedushas HaAretz. We can't talk about Shemitah in New York, no Shemitah in Dinek, no Shemitah in Kedushas HaAretz Yisrael. So we have to be convinced that Kedushas HaAretz Yisrael, and then we can begin to negotiate whether Shemitah is deraisa or not. For Rabbi Sai, we have to take another step back and ask ourselves, what does this Rambam mean? We can't just let the Rambam go like that. Bias Kulchem, great call. Bias Kulchem, yeah, great, move on to the next part. You can't do that. Even on Sunday morning, you can't do it. You gotta stop. Wait a minute, where is Bias Kulchem? Who made this up? I learned all of Shas. I never learned about Bias Kulchem. Well, then I didn't learn all of Shas very well. Bias Kulchem does appear in the Gemara. It actually appears in two places in the Gemara, in the exact same Sugi in two places. Where does it appear? Anyone know? It appears in the Sechaber Exus. It happens to also appear in the Sechaber Nida. It's the same exact Sugi, appears in two places. Most of Shiva guys will probably have seen it in the Sechaber Perek Subas first. So what does the Gemara say about Bias Kulchem? There is an absolute requirement of Bias Kulchem. Totally, it's a Dimin HaTorah. It's based on a pasuk B'voyachem al Oretz, Roshin Rambam, Bias Kulchem. The only problem is, where's that pasuk? It happens to be by Chala. It happens not even to appear by Trumas and Maisers. Not only does it not appear by Trumas and Maisers, but the simple reading of the Gemara Subas is that it's dafka not true. By Trumas and Maisers. Not just doesn't appear, it's not not true by Trumas and Maisers. That's the simple reading of the Gemara. Now, unless the Rambam for some deep, dark, secret thought that somehow that din of Chala carries over to Truma, which again would be a jump, I mean, it wouldn't be such a wild jump. You know, if I would just come and tell you, you know, 20 on Sunday morning that, well, the Rambam saw there's a din of Bias Kulchem Chala, and he thought that it applies to Truma, so what would most of you probably say? Okay, why would you say okay? Most of the things I say, guys say okay. Why? What? Well, why would you say okay? Why would you not have any problems with that? I tell it's the Mechala, I tell it's Petruma, it's all the same thing. Why? Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know if I would say that. I wouldn't go that far. I would say, well, Well, it's true by chal. If it's true by chal, I'm practically handing to you in a silver platter. If it's true by chal, then it's probably true by truma. Why? What is chala? Chala is a form of truma. Chala tarimus truma. Chala, in fact, according to many, the nusach habracha when you mafrish chala is the hafrish truma. I mean, it's the hafrish tzei, the hafrish chala, but it's really the same thing. Truma to grain is what chala is to dough. So chala and truma, they both go to the kohen. Yisrael can't eat it. You're both a bottle b'meya. You're both chayv misa d'shemayim to eat it. You're both chayv to pay keren b'chayim mishu yidu b'shayge. Chala is all the halachas of truma. So it's not so crazy to say that, well, if there's a din, in order to be chayv and chal, yidu b'yaskulchem, maybe that carries over to truma. Now again, granted the Gemara doesn't sound that way at all, but at least logically it wouldn't have been so bad. Right, that's exactly what I'm saying. Right, exactly what I'm saying. That if anything, the Gemara sounds like you don't make that jump. But again, assuming you didn't read the Gemara, if you just read this Rambam, you didn't know too much about the Gemara, so you probably wouldn't be so surprised that they took a din that appears by Chala and stuck it into Truma. How did it get to Maisras? Well, you know, Trumas and Maisras kind of go hand in hand, you know, so it's kind of like, you know, we're jumping, you know, we're playing checkers here, we could jump over this one, over that one, the next one. You know, we're jumping, we're taking a din from Chala, throwing it to Truma, throwing from Truma to Maisras, you know. It's not so bad. In and of itself, it's not so terrible to say that. Because the problem is that we don't have any right to say it. If anything, for the Gemara, we have a right to say it. So this has always been a trouble in Rambam. The Rambam was very bothered with this Rambam. The Rambam therefore said the Rambam was wrong. But the Rambam does say it. The Rambam does have this. But again, we don't know how this impacts Shemitah Bechlal, but the Rambam did make this statement. So what do you think? What do you mean from B.S. Kuchen? One more thing, B.S. Kuchen. What kind of din is that, B.S. Kuchen? So there's a famous beer that's given by Reb Chaim as to what exactly Ram is driving at with this din of B.S. Kuchen. And it's this beer from Reb Chaim that could potentially touch and take us back a step, back to the Sugya of Shemitah a little bit. This beer from Reb Chaim doesn't appear in Reb Chaim. It doesn't appear exactly in the words of Reb Chaim. It appears a little bit. It's alluded to in Reb Chaim also. But it's actually quoted, believe it or not, strangely enough, by the Beis HaLevi in the name of his son, in the name of Reb Chaim. So in the Shazah Shuvah's Beis HaLevi, the very first Shuvah in Chelek Gimel is all about Shemitah. It's all about actually the Hetem Mechira, about selling land in Eretz Yisrael to the Goyim. So he quotes the Shtikl Torah B'Des HaRambam from his son, from Reb Chaim. But those who don't know anything about the history of the Soloveitchik family, so if they'll read this piece of the tshuva, they won't know who basically he's talking about. Because he writes that he has a chiddush to say, that he says that he was told by B'ni Reb Chaim Mivolozhin. That's what he calls him, B'ni Reb Chaim Mivolozhin. So a person would see that, they'd say, oh, must be Reb Chaim Mivolozhin, must be the Beis HaLevi's son who's Reb Chaim Mivolozhin. So that's not true. Reb Chaim Mivolozhin was the Beis HaLevi's, I don't know, great-grandpa, whatever, a couple of generations back. So he says he was Reb Chaim Briska, we call Reb Chaim Briska, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, Reb Chaim de Grach was called Reb Chaim Mivolozhin. Why? Because he said Shurim in Volozhin, that's why. The Beis HaLevi was the Beis HaLevi, the Netziv with the Koresh Hashivas in Volozhin at the time. So he invited, Beis HaLevi invited his son, Reb Chaim, to say Shurim in Volozhin. So the Reb Chaim first became famous, became popular before he was in Brisk. He became popular when he was in Volozhin. A lot of the Shurim that we have, a lot of the Shtikl Torahs that we have from Reb Chaim were originally said in his early years. When he was a younger man, he said him over in Volozhin. Later in life, he became the Rav in Brisk and became, he wrote some of the stuff that we know now. But original Pshatim was started out when he was a Magid Shir in Volozhin. So, in the name of Reb Chaim Briska, Hamachunim Reb Chaim Briska, later calls the following beer Hadavar. There is a din that in order to be Chayiv in Mitzvah Safuyas Ba'aretz, so it's not enough just to walk into Eretz Yisrael. Here we are, Yehoshua Ben Nun crosses the Yarden, 10th of Nisan, here we are, Baruch Abo, and all the mitzvah please barats kick in right away. Something has to happen first. What has to happen first? It has to be, what are the two phrases? Those who are learning Daf Yomi these days, it was today's daf actually. You need what?
Motion.
Close. What do we call it? Sheva Shekibshu, Sheva Shechilku. You have to have Yerusha of Yeshiva, I think that's what you're referring to. Rishtimus of Yeshaftim, you have to have Kibush, Vechiluk. That's the Mekadesh, that's what gets the ball rolling in terms of the Mitzvah Tlois Baris. So it's not enough just to walk into geographic Eretz Yisrael. It's not even enough just to walk in, you know, as the Jewish people. You have to walk in, Mamashak, Kibush, Tachiluk, etc. Now, we already saw, we already mentioned last week, that if the kibush is done by individuals rather than as Klal Yisrael as a whole, that becomes very, very problematic. That's the sugya of kibush yochid. That's the reason why those northern parts of Syria, which were not really even technically supposed to be part of Eretz Yisrael initially, so those parts of quote-unquote Eretz Yisrael were very questionable what the status was, because the kibush wasn't really done properly. It was done by day yechidim. It was actually mechikas of Yisharim. What does that mean? The Gemara calls it kibush yochid. So Rashi says kibush yochid means that it was done by yechidim. And Tosfos writes, even though it wasn't really done by yechidim, it was done by the Jewish army, but it was done shelo kedin, because David HaMelech made a mistake, Tosfos says, based on the Pesukim, that David HaMelech was supposed to first conquer the rest of Eretz Yisrael, and then he wanted to expand the borders up to Syria. That's okay. But he hadn't even conquered Yerushalayim yet. So he hadn't conquered the main parts of the real Eretz Yisrael. What's he going to wage in his wars in the periphery of outside the official borders of Eretz Yisrael? So even though, according to Tosfos, it was technically done by a lot of people, it was done by the Rabbim, but since it was done shelo kedin, so it's considered to be like a bunch of yechidim acting. The only time it's called a tzibur is when the tzibur does it kedim. The tzibur is acting according to the Torah's directives, then they're called a tzibur. If not, they're just a bunch of individuals just running around waging war. So that's like a kibush yochid as well. So Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, what exactly was kibush yochid, a historical statement that there were only yechidim who did it? It wasn't really the Jewish army, it was David HaMelech, a couple of private guys who were going and conquering it. Or does it mean it was done by the same army, the same Israeli flag was flying, but it wasn't being done kedasa chodin, it was being done shaloike aloha, therefore not the din like a kibush yochid. That's a little detail. At the end of the day, the din is that it has to be done on behalf of a Klal Yisrael. So comes Reb Chaim and says, what if you have a kibush, you have a chiluk, you have a chazokah, you have different kinds of makachim, but they're not really done by all of Klal Yisrael. They're done by Yechidim. So the Chaim said, how can you Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael that way? What kind of key, what kind of Kedush, what kind of Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael is that when it's done Ayyadei Yechidim? So Zavki Chaim, that's what Bias Kulcham means. Bias Kulcham doesn't mean there's a second condition that, by the way, in addition to Kedushas Ha'aretz, there's a second condition necessary that you have to have Bias Kulcham. Well, it's not a second condition. The lack of Bias Kulcham is felt in the Kedusha. It's a chisar in the Kedusha proper. The Mekadesh isn't complete, because the Mekadesh is presupposing that it's Klal Yisrael as the Mekadesh. When you have a lack of Bias Kulchem, you don't have a Klal Yisrael. That's a chisar in Klal Yisrael. That's a chisar to the Etzem Kedushas HaKarka in the first place. So usually when you see the Din of Bias Kulchem, you usually think that, oh, there are two conditions. There's condition number one, you need Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. And condition number two, by the way, there's a secondary condition that has to be met, a tangential din called Bias Kulchem. It's not true, says Reb Chaim. The lack of Bias Kulchem is guf a chisaron in the Yerusha of Yeshiva. It's a chisaron. It's like you haven't yet done the Shev Shekiv Shev Shechilku yet. You haven't done the Mekadesh yet, because Bias Kulchem, the lack of Bias Kulchem doesn't have the ability to Mekadesh Eretz Yisrael B'Shleg Musa. That's the voice for Reb Chaim. It's almost like the opposite of Reb Chaim, but usually Reb Chaim takes one din and shows you that it's two dinim. Here he takes a two dinim and shows that it's one din. Math going in the opposite direction. So this is the var for Reb Chaim. So therefore, Reb Chaim says, you don't need a pasuk to tell me it's obvious kulchem by Trumas and Maisis. It's obvious. Since Trumas and Maisis requires a kibush v'chiluk, and a kibush v'chiluk by definition has to be done by Klal Yisrael, you can't have a kibush v'chiluk that's done by Yechidim. So when you have 49% of Klal Yisrael doing a kibush v'chiluk, that's a nishkin kibush v'chiluk. So it's a chisor in kibush v'chiluk. What do you marviach from this word of Reb Chaim, besides a little bit of a beer in the Rambam? What do you marviach from this word of Reb Chaim? That this is no longer a din necessarily of truma. This is no longer a din necessarily of maizras. This could potentially spill over to any area of halacha that requires kibush v'chiluk. Any of the mitzvahs that also depend upon kibush v'chiluk are also going to be subject to this condition of Bias Kulchem. So Bias Kulchem just spread wings, according to Reb Chaim. According to the Rambam, you could plug it in anywhere. The Rambam happened to plug it into Shumas and Maizras, but in theory you could plug it in anywhere. Wherever there's a din of kibush v'chiluk, by definition you need Bias Kulchem. So we didn't even get to the Shemitah part yet. We just got to the prerequisite to Shemitah. We got to the introduction, namely, what is the din of Kedushas Haaretz? What is the din of Bias Kulchem? What's the background in terms of Truma? How should we plug this in terms of Shemitah?
The point is the equation between the second base of Mikdash
It's similar. It's a similar principle. Yeah. So when all the dust settles, now that we have all three different possibilities on the board, how would we look at Shemitah b'zman hazeh? So here we have a shayla of Shemitah b'zman hazeh. So I wonder, what's the din? Is Shemitah b'zman hazeh deraita, Shemitah b'zman hazeh derabbanan? What should the din be? So according to Rabbeinu Baruch, it's a no-brainer. It's a non-starter, according to Rabbeinu Baruch. Shemitah b'zman hazeh zichat derabbanan, because there's no kedush darah. It's finished. End of discussion. According to the Ravid, what should the din be? And that's really, there's some piece of information that we're missing. Shemitah should be a no-brainer, should be a deraita. The kedush darah is not b'teila. The Ravid never heard of a din of Bias Kulchem. The Ravid writes explicitly Bias Kulchem is not true. It's a din prati, it's a second din. It's a tangential din by Chal. Nothing to do with true Mismai, nothing to do with anything else. So according to the Ravid, it's also no brainer that Shemitah should be the Araisa. What about according to the Rambam? So according to the Rambam, should Shemitah be the Araisa Bizman Azeh? Should Shemitah be the Rabbanah Bizman Azeh? Well, Kedusha is lo b'teila. We have this funny din of Bias Kulchem. So where should this funny din of Bias Kulchem put us? So before Reb Chaim came along, that we thought that Bias Kulchem somehow was like a chaladik adin, and we Bekoshi stretched it out to Truma, and then Bekoshi Godel, we made it over to Maiseres. But where is it not going to take us? I think it's a Shemitah. Shemitah is a weird thing. Shemitah has nothing to do with chalad, nothing to do with Truma, nothing to do with Maiseres. So the Ora, if you hold that Bias Kulchem is some kind of a prop in Hilchas Chalah, it's hard to believe that it has any relevance to our discussion of Shemitah. But once Reb Chaim took it out of Truman Chala and put it into a global statement about the Mekadshim of Eretz Yisrael, that you need Kibush, Vechibach, Yerusha, Yeshiva, then that's also true when it comes to Shemitah, Kisavol Arts, by Shemitah also, you need a Yerusha, Yeshiva. So then maybe Bias Kulchem is going to be Ma'akev in Shemitah also. So according to Reb Chaim, we could possibly talk about Shemitah being the Rabbanon, even according to the Rambam. But most of that discussion has not really been a Shemitah discussion. Most of that discussion has been a Trumas and Maaseh discussion, and we're hoping and praying that we could somehow connect the dots to some shape or form to the realm of Shemitah. But now we change course a little bit, and now we begin to discuss, forget about Truma for a minute, now we go into Shemitah proper. And we want to know, forget about Kedusha Aretz for a minute. Assuming there is, yes, Rabbeinu Baruch, let's assume like all the other Rishonim that there is a Kedusha Aretz deraisa of Bizman Hazeh, as we may as well, there is Bizman Hazeh. And I want to know, is there any other reason to believe that somehow Shemitah could be mitigated Bizman Hazeh? There's some other, almost a din protinuch of Shemitah that could potentially limit Shemitah Bizman Hazeh. There is a very, very famous Gemara, Masechet Gittin, Daf Lamed Vav. We actually spoke about this Gemara at the very beginning of the year. It was, I think, in the first sugya, and we spoke a little bit about it before Prisbal time, which was itself in sugya. But the Gemara raises the very, very famous question on the Mishnah. There's a Mishnah in both the Maseches Gittin as well as the Maseches Shviyas. But the Mishnah talks about one of the most famous takanas in the world, who was the takana of Hillel. Hillel was Misach and Prisbal. Okay, so the kasha on the takana of Prisbal is as old as the hills. What's the kasha on the takana of Prisbal? What's the kasha? Right? Right, cash all the up to Carson Mask and Hillel, right? Hillel was the first, reformed Judaism. He's changing the Torah, changing the law. How dare he do that? As in the Chumash, that you're not allowed to collect the debts. And Hillel said, well, there was some socioeconomic, reason, so therefore we could do it in Shalom Yisroel. Therefore we could drive on Shabbos, we can eat treif, we can eat in Yom Kippur, whatever we want to do, because we have needs and reasons to do that. That was the basic, that was the line in Germany in the 1800s. Anyone who looked at the early literature, not that you should, they don't look at the early literature of that movement. So that was Hillel was like the first one up there. He was the role model. Yeah. So then you open up the Gemara and says, "Getting the Flamed Vav." When the Gemara raises the same question, it was, "Hey, what's going on? How could Hillel just change the dinim deraisa just like that?" So the Gemara has a whole sugya about it, a whole discussion, a whole shach of the time about it. And the Gemara explains what was really going on, not what people in the 1800s in Germany thought was going on, but what was really truly going on was as follows. The Gemara actually has a machlekes about in Rava, what was really truly going on. So one answer, almost the simpler answer, is the answer we're not going to talk about today, what was just mentioned quickly. What's the easiest answer to this kasha? I happen to change the dinim. What's the answer? Well, this is dine what? This is dine momenes. Dine momenes. Hefke beis and hefke, we can do whatever we want. That's not changing the halacha. Hefke beis hefke is part of the halachic system. And that's the easy test. But that's not for today. Abaye gave the more difficult teretz. Andaf lamed vav amin af maseches gittin. Abaye says, I'll tell you a secret. The question is better than the answer. Hillel cannot change the halacha. and there's no way Hillel does not have the authority to tamper with Shemitah Deraisa, that's the bad news. The good news is that we don't have Shemitah Deraisa anyway in Bizman Hazeh. The whole Shemitah Bizman Hazeh is only what? Is only Midrabanan. Why is Shemitah Bizman Hazeh only Midrabanan? Somewhat unclear. But says Abaye, because Shemitah is Ksof, right? I say anyway, not Shemitah is Karka, Shemitah is Ksof. Because Shemitah is Ksof is only Midrabanan Bizman Hazeh. So therefore, Hey Mamre Vey Mamre, the Chum instituted it. That's the trouble in the first place. And they got us out of the trouble by instituting Prusbul. So that's the flow of the Takanas Prusbul according to Abaye's understanding. Kesav, Hillel, Shemit, Rizman, Zed, Rabbanon, and therefore Midi Rabbanon, Hey Mamre Vey Mamre. Of course, what does Abaye have to prove to us? Why Shemit should be Midi Rabbanon? So Abaye quotes a famous statement attributed to who? To Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. So it's interesting because Hillel, when you read this Gemara, and again, if you have no idea of any history, so you read the Gemara like this. The Gemara says, my time is Hillel, oh, Kasava Karabi, Hillel held that could be the Nasi. So you think that, most people think that the Vida Nasi must have been living hundreds of years before, and Hillel was looking around, trying to scrounge around to find the source for his book, and he dug upon the Bryce of Vida Nasi. So Hillel, Kasava Karabi, the Nasi. So that's backwards history, that's poor history, right? Because Hillel was the great-great-great-grandfather of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. So when the Gemara says that Hillel kasava Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, it doesn't mean he dug up a statement of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. He never saw Rabbi Yehuda. Hillel died hundreds of years before Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was born. It says Hillel held like that sheet that had originally been around. When the Gemara digs up the Tanna, the Gemara says, Rameah suffered this. Rameah started the sheet. Sometimes Rameah did. Sometimes Rameah was Bechadish the Shita. Sometimes Rameah was quoting a tradition from his Rabbeim. Sometimes Rabbi Meir discovered a Shita that already existed hundreds of years before. Like today, someone says, I'll say a Shtikul Torah, and someone will say to me, the Ktzais said, you're right, Tachas. So Barashat Givanti, I said over the Ktzais. Somebody, Mamish yesterday, I was away for Shabbos, my nephew's Bar Mitzvah. So I was away for Shabbos. So somebody came over to talk to me. They were, how come you have that Rabbi Kinegar about something? And then they were telling me over the Ktzais about something. I don't know exactly. I forgot how one thing led to the next, but I told me to follow him. I think they told him, they think that, if I'm not mistaken, the prince said he learned in Tells in Cleveland, he learned from Mordechai Gifter. I figured since we like Tzoysim here once in a while, so you have to hear this one. So he said that Mordechai Gifter once said that, sometimes American Bacharim, they say Kasha from Tzoys, and they say Teres from Tzoys. Oh, they feel a little good about this. Yeah, I understand. I got to sing it down just like the Tzoys. So Rav Gifter said, let me describe to you the difference between the way the Ktzais learned and the way you boys learned, to get you just the proper perspective. So he said, the Ktzais, remember we said the Ktzais didn't have any money for tables, for the board on the barrels. So he said that the Ktzais didn't have any money to heat his house either. So it was so cold when he lived in Galicia, freezing cold in the middle of the winter, that the ink would freeze. So he would keep like this inkwell, not like his fancy pens. Wasn't typing on his computer. He would keep his ink under his coat, so it wouldn't freeze. He'd be able to finish the next coat. So with one hand his inkwell, and one hand he had his pen. His Gemara, Rambam, so in Smavsh Hazamis, he was there just a bunch of get the words down to get it onto the piece of paper. That's how the Ktzais, that was the Messiah's Dashrut. I said, American boy, he also holds multiple things in his hand. He's holding his can of Coke in one hand, he's having his donut in the other hand, and he's philosophizing about a Shtikul Torah and a Rambam and a Ktzais. And you want to know why your kashas and pivots aren't as sharp as the Ktzais. It's a gift. Okay, good. Anyway, like Ramesh just said, he didn't like the lean back chairs. Because he said, you can't learn a Gemara with your feet up like this. Sit forward like get attention when you learn. Okay. Anyway, what are we talking about? What? Yeah, but why did I say that? But why did I tell him that story? Yeah, but what did I have to do with it? I remember, totally forgot what I was talking about. All right, whatever. I'll talk to something else. Okay, we'll start a new story. Okay, anyway, maybe we'll come back to it. So Abaye said that Shemitah. Huh? Oh, that's right. That's what I say. I'll say it. That's what I said. So far. Anyway, so the bottom line is when the Gemara says the Hilchos Kasava Karevi, it doesn't mean that he held like Revi. his great 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 grandson. It means he held the shita that in later days became known in the yeshiva, in the early yeshivas, became known as Rebbe Shita. It's like sometimes they'll say the Grozman. The Grozman was the riff in the Rambam's man, but it's called the Grozman. Yeah, sometimes you know, a shita, Rebbe Tam Tfil. Sometimes they make up the Tfil. The Goyim already had such a tradition. Sometimes the shita will become very, very famously associated with a particular shita, but even though that shita was not the one who necessarily made it up. So the Gemara subscribes this shita of Hillel to the shita of later known as Shita's Rebbe. And what was the Hillel Shita's Rebbe? What would Rebbe Nasi say? Rebbe Nasi had the comment on the pasuk in Parashas Re'eh, Miket Sheva Shanim Taseh Shemitah Vezeh Devar HaShemitah Shemoh. Stop. What's the problem? It's almost redundant. How many times did I say Shemitah in the same pasuk? Vezeh Devar HaShemitah Shemoit. It should have just said Vezeh Devar HaShemitah. I know what I'm supposed to do. So what do you mean Shemoit again? Nachamot. It's almost repeating the same words. So comes Rebbe Azad de Rasha Vishtei Shemitah Sakosimah. That the reason for the apparent redundancy is not redundant. It's talking about two different shmitas. There are two denim of shmitah. The shtei shmitas across the Medaba. So why does the Torah talk about, but only talk about shmitas ksafim? The goal of this pasuk is shmitas ksafim. So why are we mentioning another phantom shmita? I tell you, it's a hekesh, that the two shmitas are a package deal. It's all or nothing. So if you have the one shmita, then you have the other shmita. And if you don't have the one shmita, then you have the other shmita. That's a din midaraisa. So what are the two shmitas? Obviously one of them is shmitas ksofim. That's not a question. That's what the pasuk is talking about. What is the other phantom shmita? So comes the Gemara and says, acha shmitas what? Karka v'acha shmitas ksofim. So one is shmitas karka, and one is shmitas ksofim. The two go hand in hand. Bizman sheta meshamet karka, ata meshamet ksofim. Ubizman she'iya ta meshamet karka, iya ta meshamet ksofim. So ksafim is hinging on for dear life onto what? Ksafim is hanging on for dear life onto karka. So if shmita's karka is deraisa, then shmita's ksafim is deraisa. And if shmita's karka, for whatever reason, is on a midrabanan, then shmita's ksafim is on a midrabanan as well. That's the drush of Rebbe. And that was the background to Hillel's takona. What do the words mean? Just plug into me what taich in the words. If you were reading Rebbe's drasha, b'shtei shmitas kakos medaber, acha shmitas kakos, v'acha shmitas ksofim, how would you translate shmitas kakos? Right, give me an example of a shmitas karka. What do the words mean? I mean, come on, you would tell me what does shmitas karka mean? Everyone knows that. The seventh year of the cycle, you have to leave your lands fallow, you can't work them, you can't plant them, right? You can't plow it. That's what, isn't that what shmitas karka means to you? If I were to take a survey of 100 people, right? And to tell me what the word shmitas karka means. Don't you think they would say that? Don't you think they would think of those big signs? There's a kan shomim shmita. They think of, you know, oitzabez in a serogim. They conjure up the images of, you know, buying flowers in the shnas of shmita, bottles of wine for shmita. You know, the farmers living in kailo during shmita. I mean, that's the whole image of shmitas karka, right? It's pretty poshut. That's what Rashi says. Rashi always gives the poshut in the Gemara. Simple pshat of the Gemara. Acha shmitas karka, acha shmitas ksafim. And therefore, whenever there's no shmitas karka, there's no shmitas ksafim. And why exactly is there no shmitas karka? Again, this is Rabbi Yudah Nasi talking. Is that bizman hazeh, there's no shmitas ksafim midaraisa because there's no shmitas karka midaraisa. And why exactly is there no shmitas karka midaraisa? Because why? Well, we have all the answers on the board. What's the easiest reason why there's no shmitas karka deraisa? Baltic Bisharis, right? That sounds pretty good, right? It's pretty simple. So maybe what Rabbi Danasi meant is as follows. Rabbi Danasi sitting around up in the north in the Galil, around 150 years after the Chorban, and trying to figure out, well, do we have shmitas ksafim bizman hazeh deraisa or not? Rabbi Danasi says, oh, shama, zed vashmita shem, shmitas ksafim bizman hazeh deraisa. Bizman shet the mashamit karka. Whenever there's shmitas karka deraisa, there's shmitas ksafim. Whenever there's not, there's not. So mistam bizman hazeh, there's no shmitas karka deraisa. Why? Because Baltic Bisharis, right? Who would be sitting, which Rishon would be sitting here and smiling? Rabbeinu Baruch, right? That's exactly what we've been telling you, right? That there's no Shmita Tzarka Deraisa. Rabbeinu Baruch was talking about Trumas and Maisers, but the reason why there's no Trumas and Maisers Deraisa is because Balak Bisharis, which is the same reason for there's no Shmita Deraisa. There's no Shmita Tzarka Deraisa, therefore there's no Shmita Tzarka Deraisa. Everything's only Derabanan. That would be great. That would be hunky dory. That would be phenomenal. It wouldn't be so phenomenal. Why would that not be so phenomenal? There's something missing in this pshat. What's missing in this pshat? This is great in what Rebbe said. This is a beautiful explanation of the words of the Hele Gitana Rebbe Danossi, who lived 150 years after the Churban, when he said, "B'shtei Shmitas Akos Medaber," this is the source of the din that there's no Shmitas Sof B'zman Azed Deraisa, because there's no Shmitas Kakos Baruch B'shot. This is Gevaldik. What is this? Not so Gevaldik for historically? What did the Gemara just say? That Rebbe was the source for who? Hillel. What's the problem? Hillel lived when? B'zman HaMikdash. How do you know Hillel lived B'zman HaMikdash? Come on, bring me a Raya Brush, you know, true of Hillel. Kain also Hillel B'zman HaMikdash. Good Raya. Okay, good. We don't need that Raya for nothing. Just Hillel B'zman HaMikdash. Let's talk about Hillel. Hillel brought his carbon chagiga. What? The what? He had a lot of it. Of course, Hillel in the days of the Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara says in Shabbos that Hillel Nogdus Yusuf b'fnei Abayis. Where the Gemara says the amount of years, how many he was the Nasi. Hillel came up. He came up by Korban Pesach Dechah Shabbos. You mean? Yeah, he's the one who came up and told all the other Tanaim. The other Tanaim didn't remember where the Korban Pesach was Dechah Shabbos, because Erev Pesach very rarely comes out in Shabbos. In our calendar, it almost never comes out. Very, very rarely. In the olden days, also didn't come out so often on Shabbos. So there was probably a long stretch of time. The top of the Gemara Pesach on Shabbos, so nobody remembered. So they were sitting around the Beis Hamikdash, or Pesach Chalas B'Shabbos. Remember the beginning of the sixth Perek of Pesachim. No one could remember. Remember, was it? What did we do last time? It's been so long. So everyone was thinking, where were we 20 years ago? So they went through all the list. Where were we 20 years ago when it fell out? Were we in Spain for Yom Tov? Were we in Portugal for Yom Tov? Were we in Australia, in the North Pole? No one remembered where we were. No one remembered. Everyone different Pesach probes. I couldn't remember where we were 20 years ago. So my daughter had, my little daughter, I tell the story. She had, I was. Okay, so, Hillel. So they didn't know whether the Korban Pesach was Dechah Shabbos. So finally, Hillel reminded them there's a Gzeirah Shabbos, there's a Drasha, there's a whole tradition. So then they realized Taka Hillel was right. he had the right Masorah that they couldn't remember. So what did they do? So they made him Rashiva, they made him the Nasi. In those days, he was a nobody, nobody knew who he was. He was from Bavel. Ola Hillel Bavli, he was cool. So he came there, so nobody knew who he was. He had no credentials, nothing. But he knew the answer. He knew how to pass in the Shabbat and say this. They made him to the Nasi. That's how things are supposed to happen. If you know how to say the best year, you become your Shiva. That's what's supposed to happen. Okay. So it doesn't matter who you're married to, who you come from, where your money is. Who knows how to learn best becomes the Nasi. That's how things used to be. Okay. So anyway. So this Shtikl Torah of Bismanish, the Meshamet Kakat, the Meshamet Ksofim, makes a lot of sense if you live post the Churban. But if you live in the days of Hillel, so this Pshat seems to fall a little bit. We'll fall a little bit flat. I mean, the Gemara is explaining what Prusbul works because Shmitas Ksafim is only the Rabbanon, and Shmitas Ksafim is only the Rabbanon because Shmitas Karak is the Rabbanon because it's Batel Kedushas. So we're walking in circles. Kedushas Karak, who says Kedushas Karak is Batel? So Rashi has to give you a whole razzle dazzle Shtikl Torah to try to explain this. But the times Rashi gets in a lot of trouble to try just to explain the flow of the Gemara. But leaving out the details of Hillel right now, the Drasha of Karak Ksafim, the Drasha of Beis Shmitas of Karak Ksafim. That the Beis Shemitas, so this is exactly what it means. Karka means Avoidas Akarka Bishana 7, and Ksafim means Shemitas Ksafim, what we call Shemitas Ksafim today, the end of the 7th year. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. So, needless to say, this is a difficult shot, even though the word Shemitas Karka really reads like a charm, but sticking into the Gemara doesn't read so well. So this is one of the many things that led a whole group of Rishonim, could be mostly Rishonim, to veer a little bit from the meaning of the word Shemitas Karka in order to fit into the Gemara better. And this became known as the Sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. Again, it wasn't only Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam started the Sheet. Another Rishonim picked up on this Sheet. It became Rabbeinu Tam's beer in the Gemara. What is the beer in the Gemara, says Rabbeinu Tam? It all boils down to a mistranslation of the word karka. Well, you know karka means land. A mistranslation of the term shmitas karka. Shmitas karka does not mean the prohibition of working the land in Shnasa Shmita. That's not what it means. You know what shmitas karka means? Shmitas karka is a code phrase for what? For, I'll tell you, what does shamot mean? What does shmita almost mean, really? almost is like a canceling, like an ending of something. Right? That's like the word Shemitah, to be shomate something. When do land-oriented things end, cancel, revoke, go back to the original state? When do all those things happen? I mean, during Yovel. That's when karka is neshmetes. Now again, I don't mean, sorry, not, you can't work in the Yovel also, but that's not what I'm talking about. Shemitas karkos, as Rabbi Natan means, when all the land sales are ended, they all revoke back to the original Isha Mishpachta, Isha Chuzah, Zavosah, Tashuva. All the land goes back to the original owner. That's what Chazal meant when they used the phrase Shemitas karka. So Shemitas karka is a very misleading phrase. It's almost a misnomer. What Shemitas karka really means, what does Shemitas karka really mean, truly? It's a code phrase for Yovel. That's what Shemitas karka means. And what does Shemitas Ksofa mean? Shemitas Ksofa is a code phrase for what? For what? For all of Hilchos Shemitah. All of sabbatical years. All seventh year. All including the phrase Shemitas Ksofa. Why do we call it Shemitas Ksofa and not Shemitas seventh year? You can't work the land also. So Rabbi Natan explains, because we're trying to contrast it to Yovel. So if you use the word Shemitas Karka for the seventh year, it's going to be the same term. So therefore, we use the reish shvitas ksofim, because taka yovel doesn't cancel debts. Yovel has an issur malacha. There's an issur of his karka di yovel. Los Yisrael, los Sikros, all the dinim of charish and all the dinim of avodas karka that apply in shvit apply in yovel, but ksofim doesn't apply. There is no din of shvitas ksofim in the shmasa yovel. You know, yovel is not mishamit ksofim. So therefore, Chazal, what they really wanted to say, I don't mean it's in a bad way. It's almost like a roundabout way of saying it. But what Chazal really were trying to say was what? What was the theme? What they were really trying to get expressed across to us? What? That Shemitah depends upon Yovel. That's what this cloud really means. B'shnei Shemitah Karka a custom of Madah means Karka is a code phrase for Yovel, and Ksofim is a code phrase for all the dinim of the seventh year. Okay, right? Yeah, make it easier. So what the Gemara really means to say is, whenever Yovel applies, then Shemitah applies. Whenever Yovel doesn't apply, then Shemitah doesn't apply. That's what the drush of Rebbe is really assuming. So whereas according to Rashi, there's no mention of Yovel in the whole sugya. According to Rashi, everything started with Karka, and we're jumping from Karka to Ksofim. What's the poter of Karka with Deraisa? We don't have any. The only one we have is Batlus Bishzaretz. According to Rabbeinu Tam, Karka is down here. The Isra of Avedis Karka is the second half. Everything is starting with Yovel. What's the poter of Yovel? Why is there no Yovel b'zman hazeh? So Rabbi Natan says, that has nothing to do with Bitul Kedushas Haaretz. That's a totally different reason. The reason why there's no Yovel is a totally different... What's the reason? What's the reason why there's no Yovel b'zman hazeh? Well, we know exactly what it is. We can count it. A whole other ball game. The Paskin Pashas Bahar. It's a Beferish Apostolic on the where? The Pesach Bash Bahar, it's also printed on the where? No American history, nobody knows. Statue of Liberty. No, that's Emma Lazarus and the Liberty Bell. Okay, gotta know your American landmarks. State on the Liberty Bell, Ukrasim Dror Ba'aretz L'chol Yishvah. As I state, you shall proclaim liberty unto the land, unto all the inhabitants thereof. Ukrasim Dror Ba'aretz. Anyone been at the Liberty Bell? Yeah, so the Liberty Bell. It says I stand the Liberty Bell. I took my kids the last year before I went away to Israel for the summer, so I had to get out of the house for a couple of days. So, you know, my wife could pack. So I took them to Washington and Philadelphia and that whole part of the world. So I took them to see the Liberty Bell. Why? You have to see that. You have to see how much Tanakh made it. How much it's a major part of American history. So that was the whole reason for that that part of the trip. Okay. And then I was so excited, because then we went to, you know, Independence Hall, and there were lines mamish out the door, and I didn't understand why. And then somebody told me, because it was July 4th. And it didn't even dawn on me that I was there. Okay, whatever it was. It was like, you know, the middle of Chodesh Tammuz, it was before camp started. Okay, good. So comes Rabbi Natan and says, there's a din tucked away in the end of Masechet Erechin, that there's no Yovel b'zman hazeh. Why? Because we don't have Kol Yoshevei Alav. It says in the Pasuk, it has to be Kol Yoshevei Alav. That means you have to have all the Klal Yisrael, or representatives of all the Shvat, different ways of defining what exactly Kol Yoshevei Alav means, but whatever it is, we don't have it anymore. The Gemara says, guess what? They didn't have it in Bayis Sheni, the Pashtus, Pashtus Advarim, and they didn't even have it at the end of Bayis Rishon. Once they started to kick out the Aseres HaShvatim, that was 100 years before the Korban. Once Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuben were already exiled by Melech Ashur, so there was already Ois Yovel. Yovel already disappeared for all practical purposes, at least at a level of Deraisa. So therefore, Bnei Tam says, oh, well, when there's no Yovel, then there's no Shemitah. Not because there's no Kedushas Aretz, but just simply because there's no Yovel. There can be full-fledged, full-force Kedushas Aretz, and there's still no Shemitah, neither Ksafim, nor Kakos. And that's what Hillel was driving at. So Hillel lived in the days of Bayis Sheni, but Afal Bichein, there's still not going to be any Yovel b'deraisa, Pashtas, and there's not going to be any Shemitah b'deraisa either. Everything is going to be the Rabbanan, therefore everything is hunky-dory. You can make a Tekonah Pus. So we have now a whole other drasha here that may be relevant for our sugya. So we're searching, and the goal of our sugya, we're learning Sanhedrin, the goal of our sugya is to figure out why Shemitah is only the Rabbanan, because we're trying to understand what Rabbi said. That's the whole goal. And the Yanai said, you can plant your Shemitah, everything's great. Why? So one day in Taisis, because it was Pikuach Nefesh. The other day in Taisis, in Rashi was, no, because it's only the Rabbanan, so therefore they were mafter it. Why is it the Rabbanan? So we had one whole theme, it's only the Rabbanan because of Balak Dish Aret, that was one possibility. And another possibility why it's only the Rabbanan is that, but Gamre, a different picture, Gamre, a different story. The reason why it's only the Rabbanan is not because of Balak Dish Aret, but because it is totally be Yovel, and since Yovel doesn't exist, so then Shemitah doesn't exist, at least on level of Deraisa, and everything is home free. So that would be a whole nother beer in the sugya. That would be another gewaldic way of understanding what Rabbi Yana is talking about. So interestingly enough, you know who quotes this idea? You know who says that Shemitah Bizman is only the Rabbanim, the Pashtas, because there's no Yovel? Who seems to say that? The Rambam seems to say that. Now according to what Reb Chaim said, the Rambam may not need that, but the Rambam says it anyway. The Rambam says, Yoyishlam, another reason why Shemitah Bizman is only the Rabbanim. So many Rishonim quote this. The Torah writes this way, Shemitah Bizman is only the Rabbanim. Not because Truma says Bizman is the Rabbanim. Truma may be Deraisa. The Shemitah may be Kayemes. Kvias Kucha may not be true. Shemitah Bizman is may be only the Rabbanim because of the Shnichu Perah. Because Shemitah is told to Yovel. Yovel doesn't exist. There's no Yovel. There's no Shemitah. Shalom HaYishma. That's what it sounds like, right? Sounds like it's different, right? So again, so what do we have here, am I saying? So we have, so far, two very, very different reasons why potentially, or maybe three different reasons, why Shemitah Bizman is as the Rabbanan. So we have reason number one is Batla Kedushas Aretz. So which Rishon can we describe this too. Who's the great Rishon is going to tell us this? The Rebbeinu Baruch. Then we could potentially say that Shemitah Bizman is as the Rabbanan, not because Balak Kedushas Aretz, but because you need the Rambam's what? Bias Kocha. And it's almost like a Yochid, right? Something like that. So we're going to call this the Rambam. But again, this is Reb Chaim's beer b'dasa Rambam. The Rambam says the favorite, but it's Reb Chaim's beer b'dasa Rambam. And then we have a whole other ball game over here to say that Shemitah Bizman is the Rabbanan, not because Trumas is the Rabbanan. Trumas is the Raisa. Shemitah Bizman is the Rabbanan for a very different reason, because it's Tolei b'Yovel. When there's no Yovel, then there's no Shemitah. And many Rishonim seem to buy into this. Of course, this is only as true as what? This third reason is only as true as who? Who's the Tana? Who's the source of this reason? Who? Rebbe, right? Gemara said Rebbe. He. When the Gemara says Tana's Rebbe, he, what does that imply? That not everyone agreed to it, right? There may be others who didn't have this drasha, didn't accept this drasha, didn't think that's what the pasuk means. Now, didn't we need Rebbe to defend the Tekon of Prisbul? Or did we really? Who remembers? The Gemara had another defense for the Tekon of Prisbul. We said it almost under our breath before. What was the other defense for the Tekon of Prisbul? What? Maybe Hefkebez and Hefker? So maybe, you know, we brought Rebbe into the picture because we really, really wanted him to help us out to understand Prisbul. And now we have to take a step back and say, wait a minute, we don't even need Rebbe anymore. Maybe Rebbe is superfluous. Maybe we don't need that reason for Prisbul. We have a better reason. We have Rava's reason to defend Prisbul. By Rava, Rava's going to win the day. It's not Yalchagam. So maybe Rava's defense of Prisbul is more correct. If Rava's defense of Puzzle is not correct, maybe we don't need Rebbe, maybe we don't even follow Rebbe. Maybe Rebbe's a Das Yochid, as great as he was, we don't need Das Yochid. So we're not so sure. We get a little bit nervous about the third reason. Again, we don't even know the third reason means anything, because Rashi holds the third reason doesn't even exist. But even according to Benetam and most of Rishonim's understanding of the third reason, we're not so sure that we're going to possibly like the third reason. It's only as true as Rebbe is. And maybe the Chachamim most probably do disagree with Rebbe. And the only reason why Rebbe had played such a prominent role in the sugya is because he's explaining Tekanas Prusbol, but Beinenu, we don't really need him because we have another answer to explain Tekanas Prusbol. So that takes a little bit of a strength, a little bit of an oomph out of the reason number three.
There's my focus
into
buying and answering this question.
That's also, it's Machlokes Rishon, right? That's another problem. There are some who have a startling statement that maybe Hillel's Tekana Prusbol was only Liacha HaChorban. It means, in Achinam, in Bizman, Hillel's hands were tied, but he saw the Churban's coming already. So he was Misaka Liacha's man. That's a very difficult historical, answer. Or maybe one could argue that ultimately, even the answer of Rebbe, maybe even Rashi's Pshat may be falling back on those who say that Shemitah depends on Yerei Belos. That's what Rashi himself quotes from some of his Rebbeim. Rashi and Lamed Vavin Gittin quotes the Kash and he quotes Sateras from his Rebbeim. So it wasn't Koyer Shvei Aleb, is Manabayis, right? It wasn't Koyer Shvei Aleb, so Mele Shvei Aleb. So we're getting a little bit nervous about reason number three. It sounds like a great reason, because reason number one was really only Rabbeinu Baruch, and probably most of Rishonim didn't hold that way. Reason number two, Reb Chaim, others didn't read around like Reb Chaim. So Reb 3 really had a lot going for it, until we start to chisel away at it. Well, Rashi never heard of it, and even according to Rishonim heard of it, we're not quite sure it accepted Lahalacha. So the biggest opponent of reason number three was the Ramban. Rabban wrote many svarim. One of his svarim was called the Sefer Hazchus. And Maseches Gittin, so he wrote the Sefer Hazchus to deflect the tainas of who? And we know. To deflect the kashas of the Ravid against the Rif. Ramban had a whole theory in many of his svarim. He always liked to defend the earlier Rishonim against the critique. That's why he when the Rambam wrote the Sefer Mitzvahs as a critique against the Balach Skedalos, so the Ramban wrote his Asagas as a defense of the Balach Skedalos. When the Balamor wrote his Sefer as a critique of the Rif, so the Ramban wrote his response, Mechamas Hashem. So when the Ravid wrote his critique of the Rif, so the Ramban wrote a Sefer as Chus. He's going to defend the Shittas HaRif. So the Ramban has a long, long, long piece. He has in Chedusha Ramban, also he has even more in the Sefer Chus, where his basic thrust is, it's very nice. Rebbe is a wonderful Gevaldik. We love Rebbe Danasi for writing the Mishnayos for us. But it doesn't mean that we pasuk everything he said. In this particular case, we don't pasuk like him. He's against the Chachamim. There's no reason to follow him. It's only Abayi's Pshat and the Gemara, which we have a different, better, alternate Pshat of Rava. So the Ramban throws his hands up and says, who says? Me Amar Lanu? How do you know Bechlau that we should follow Rebbe Shita Bechlau? And therefore the Ramban says, well, if you don't follow Rebbe Shita, the Ramban lived before Reb Chaim, so he never knew about this Pshat. He didn't know what the Rabban meant with Bias Kolchem. And Balak Vishrat Ben Barak, or Pasuk Ben Barak was a Das Yochid. So the Ramban says, well, guess what? Shemitah, this reason isn't true. And this reason isn't true. And this reason isn't true. But you know what happens? When you strike out, you're out. You go back to the dugout. You know what happens? You know what else gets crossed out? This whole thing gets crossed out. And the Ramban says, yeah, of course everybody knows Shemitah is Mazaz, their Isa. Vad. Why would you think otherwise? Why would you think Shemitah is only the Rabbanim is Mazaz? Vad, it's their Isa. So, it turns the whole sugya upside down. We don't want to go down that route. Because according to the Ramban, the only way to explain Rabbi Yana and Esra is Pikuach Nefesh. I mean, that was an alternate pshat, but we're still trying to defend Rashi and Taisus and Asugya, who are learning that it's their Rabbanim for some reason. So we don't want to cross these things out so fast. Again, we spent a lot of time last week on this, spent a little bit of time on this. We started to talk a little bit about this. We have to go a little bit further. Understand, according to these Rishonim who say that Shemitah and Yovel Mamish are married to one another, they go hand in hand, that Shemitah and Yovel, when Shiyovel exists, Shemitah exists, Shiyovel doesn't exist, Shemitah doesn't exist. So we have to work on that a little bit more, because this is going to be potentially very, very helpful in terms of perhaps, as Manasseh, hopefully, Mitzvah tomorrow, we're going to go back to this this deep connection that according to the Ramban doesn't exist, but according to Rebbe did exist, and according to Meir Yerushalmi does exist, to try to just fine-tune this connection a little bit more, to try to get a better understanding of why Shemitah was bound. Okay, so, again, so 1 o'clock is more.